From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Statewide support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by Satellite Technical Services, authorized distributor for the ACR Bivy Stick, a small two-way satellite communicator. Dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
A coalition of pebble mine opponents traveled to Washington, D.C. last week. Their goal was to push the Environmental Protection Agency to permanently protect Bristol Bay against future developments like the proposed pebble mine. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
The Pebble Deposit is a vast store of copper, gold, and molybdenum that sits at the headwaters of Bristol Bay. For almost two decades, activists from around the region and the country have worked to stop the construction of an open-pit mine there. This month, they hope the EPA will take a step closer to long-term protections against the development. Representatives with the United Tribes of Bristol Bay and a national group of commercial fishermen met with members of Congress and the Environmental Protection Agency last week with a request to permanently block development of the Pebble Deposit under the Clean Water Act. At a press conference in front of the United States Capitol building, Thomas Tilden, a chief of the Choryong Tribal Council, says they came to ask the feds to use their authority to protect Bristol Bay's salmon from the threat posed by the mine.
Our salmon is just not our salmon. We are people that live on the land, and I believe that we are protectors of that salmon because that salmon belongs to America. When you look at how many people utilize, 50% of the salmon that is in America comes from our waters. Our waters are pristine, plentiful, and that's what nourishes that salmon so well.
Tilden and others are pushing so hard for protections in the region because the EPA is expected to take the next step in the veto process against Pebble by the end of the month. Here's how that process works. Section 404 of the Clean Water Act is the federal law that regulates how the nation's wetlands and waterways are developed. The EPA can use part of that law to veto development in those wetlands if it determines that it would cause unacceptable damage to water supplies or wildlife habitat. In the next 2 weeks, the EPA will issue an initial proposal on how to restrict or totally deny mining of the Pebble Deposit. That's called a proposed determination, or preemptive veto. That's followed by a public comment period. Then the EPA's regional administrator recommends whether to move forward with the veto. The United Tribes of Bristol Bay says they expect the EPA to release its proposed determination by May 26th. They are hoping for a final determination by the end of the year. At last week's press conference, California Democratic Representative Jared Huffman says he joined the Alaska Coalition to tell the EPA to block developments like Pebble in Bristol Bay.
Administrations can change. Politics can change. And so with something as critical to the economy of Alaska, to the way of life of the people in Bristol Bay and Alaska, something as critical as this Bristol Bay watershed, you just can't afford to leave that to chance. You got to finish the job.
A big talking point was the upcoming sockeye salmon season. More than 73 million salmon are expected to return to the bay this summer. Michael Jackson, with the organization Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, says the EPA should act to protect those record runs.
Let me tell you how record. Last year, over 66 million fish returned. This year, 73.4 million are forecast to return.
Pebble Limited Partnership spokesperson Mike Heatwell says he doesn't expect the result of the proposed determination to be good for Pebble or other potential mines in the area.
We're waiting to see primarily what ultimately the EPA will roll into that proposed determination. As you know, the devil's always in the details.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied Pebble's federal permit proposal in November of 2020. Heatwell says the company is working with the Corps on an appeal of that decision, which it filed last year. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
The push for permanent protections isn't new. Bristol Bay tribes petitioned the EPA to use the Clean Water Act to veto Pebble over a decade ago. The agency, under the Obama administration, proposed a preemptive veto in 2014 to restrict certain mining activities before Pebble's proposal was even on the table. But that veto was never finalized, and the Trump administration withdrew it in 2019. Last fall, the EPA announced it would harness its authority under the Clean Water Act to restart the process. But in January, the agency said it would revise its proposed determination by the end of May, instead of issuing a recommendation for action. Opponents of the proposed Pebble Mine voiced disappointment, saying the agency was taking a step backward. And a disclosure, Michael Jackson is the president of Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, which is a financial supporter of KDLG, where this story was produced.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
NOAA is developing new research technology to better understand the changing ecosystems of the Arctic. They plan to debut one such piece of technology, the Oculus Glider, this summer to study the changing ecosystem of the Bering Sea. The Oculus Glider, a small unmanned robot that operates underwater, is cheaper, lighter, easier to deploy, and more agile than its predecessors. It can collect new data in real time, such as the water's nitrate content. In addition, the gliders were designed to operate in shallower waters, like the Arctic shelf, and to carry a heavier payload and more sensors. Currently, NOAA possesses 4 Oculus gliders. In a Straight Science presentation, introducing the gliders to the public, NOAA oceanographer Dr. Phyllis Stabenow discussed how the gliders work.
It starts on the surface, it talks to the satellite and sends back whatever data it has. It dives downwards. As it senses the bottom, it quickly changes direction, comes back to the surface, and then can transmit the data again. Usually it does 2 or 3 dives without transmitting data.
The gliders have been in the developmental and experimental stages for 5 to 6 years. Thanks to funding from the Office of Marine and Aviation Operations, the manager of the NOAA fleet, they are in a position to become operational in a matter of months and to get to work examining some of the unusual trends in the Bering Sea. In her presentation, Stabenow detailed some of those trends, focusing especially on sea ice and how it affects the entire ecosystem's structure. Stabenow discussed how sea ice extent and the thickness has swung from one extreme to another within the last few years, affecting the local sea life. Highlighting this winter as a particularly odd one, Stabenow says these unusual trends have raised a lot of questions about the state of the Arctic ecosystem.
And to begin to answer these questions, which are in part due to the changing system we're seeing here, is we need data. And we need to expand the database. So these are the type of things that have pushed PMEL to try to develop new instrumentation.
To be efficient, Stabenow says they need to find a way to deploy the gliders without sending one of the NOAA research vessels out to sea. Currently, researchers have to deploy the gliders from one of the bigger research vessels in order for them to collect data. Stabenow mentions a way to solve this problem.
The funding we have is to deploy 2 gliders this year, each of them for about 30 days. But also part of this plan is to partner with a community and utilize smaller community vessels to deploy the glider. The glider goes off and does its business and then, you know, help to recover it.
Stabenow mentioned that this initial run will take place in the summer. Eventually, the team intends to deploy gliders during the spring and fall, one day even the winter. to get closer to the times when sea ice is present. By 2023, NOAA is hoping to deploy all of their gliders, two in the northern Bering Sea and two in the southern Chukchi Sea. Thanks to KNOM's Miriam Trujillo for that story.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation has reaffirmed its decision to grant the proposed Donlin Gold Mine a water quality certificate. The certificate is required for the Donlin Gold Mine to conduct its mining operations under the Clean Water Act. The state released its decision on May 13th. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur has this report.
This is the second time the state has reaffirmed its decision to issue the water quality certificate to Donlin Gold. The first time was in 2020. The state initially issued what's called a Certificate of Reasonable Assurance to Donlin in 2018. The certificate says that the state has reasonable assurance that Donlin's operations would comply with state water standards. The Bethel Tribe, ONC, has challenged this certificate multiple times. It's represented by the environmental law firm Earth Justice. The tribe contends that the state cannot have reasonable assurance that the mine won't violate these water quality standards. Specifically, the tribe said that the state cannot guarantee that the mining operations will maintain Alaska's environmental standards for mercury levels, water temperature, and fish habitat. However, the state believes that the mine can maintain these standards. The state has reissued the certificate once in 2019 and reaffirmed it twice in 2020 and 2022 following ONC's challenges. The most recent review by the state in a third-party engineering and consulting firm concluded that the water temperatures are not expected to exceed standards for fish habitat. It determined that the mercury levels in the Crooked Creek watershed could even decrease due to runoff control at the mine. But it did find one area where mercury levels could exceed state water quality standards in a portion of the American Creek watershed due to increased runoff. The finding led Donlin Gold to create a plan for monitoring the mercury levels at the site and adapting its operations as those levels change. ONC issued a statement saying it was disappointed in the state's decision and that the decision, quote, neglects the interest of the peoples of our region, end quote. The tribe expressed concern for the mine's possible environmental impacts. ONC did not say whether it plans to take legal action against the state's decision to reaffirm the water quality certificate. Donlin Gold also issued a statement. It says the project is committed to responsibly developing the mine and that the state's additional review helps ensure that the ecosystem will remain protected. For KYUK, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.